let's go ahead and get started. How many people in here this morning like to be deceived? Anybody? Like to be deceived? Or tricked? Anybody? Has anybody in here ever been deceived or tricked? Many times. And being on the receiving end of it is not a good thing, right? Sometimes we get hurt. There's hard feelings. There might be a lot of things that, you know, happen as a result of it, but we don't like being deceived. And we're thinking about a Sunday school lesson, and as of 12:30 this morning, I still, because we're kind of out of our normal schedule and everything, and I just kind of wanted to kind of get away from just some of the normal things that we're doing. At 12:30 this morning, I was still quite unsettled on a Sunday school lesson. And so I went to bed, got up really early this morning, and the Lord kept bringing me back to this one particular lesson. And so the title of our lesson this morning is Deceived by the Enemy. Deceived by the enemy. And we have an enemy, young people, that is out to deceive us this morning. He is out to trick us. He may not be able to get us to go into outright sin, but he's going to do everything he can to trick us into doing something that we're going to regret. We're going to do something that will get us, you know, into trouble. And so he's out to deceive us this morning. Again, remember, I don't think anybody in here this morning raised their hand and said, I love to be deceived. So, the title of our lesson this morning is Deceived by the Enemy. So, we're going to look, and this is a story about the Gibeonites. We'll talk about the Gibeonites after a bit, but this is a story about the Gibeonites. And the children of Israel are about ready to cross over the Jordan into the promised land. They've spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And now they are about ready to cross over into the promised land. But God gives some instruction to Moses. You know, the man of God, our pastor stands before us, he gets instructions from God. Moses was getting instructions from God. And in Numbers 33, 52, and 53, it says, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places. Pretty detailed instructions here. It goes on to say, ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land. So in other words, drive them out. Take the land from their possession and dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess. So God was giving Moses some instruction here. And he is saying, drive out the inhabitants of the land. And when we get saved, young people, when we get saved, and we can make a lot of spiritual correlations here. And when we get saved, God is telling us to drive out the inhabitants. The inhabitants or those things that were in our life prior to us getting saved. Those things that are detrimental to us. Those things that might have been bad habits. Those things that that will cause us to stumble, that will cause us to fall, that will cause us to victorious. That's what, to not have victory in our lives. And God wants us to have victory. God wants us to have victory in our lives. And so when we get saved, God commands us to drive out the enemy, the inhabitants of the land. Destroy those things that ruled our lives. Now, every one of us is different, and I know that before we got saved, there were different things in our lives that that ruled our lives, right? Some could have been alcohol. Some it could have been drugs. Some it could have been smoking. Some that could have been other things in their lives. Those things rule your lives. God's saying drive those things out. Why? Because it's going to stand in the way of your victory this morning. And I think that we all like to be on the winning side of things, right? Does anybody like being a loser? Anybody like being a loser? No! We all like to be winners, right? We all like to be winners. But God is saying to us this morning, if we want to be winners, we're going to have to drive out the inhabitants that ruled our lives before we were saved. Also, he's telling, pluck down those things that you held in high regard. There are some things that were esteemed in your life, that you lifted up in your life. He's saying, pull those things down. Pull those altars, pull those gods down that ruled your life. Could have been money. Bible talks about the love of money, right? We all need money to live, but money rules some people's lives. There are things that ruled your life. If I gave you a second to think about it, there are things before you were saved, they rule your life. God's saying, pluck those things down. Tear them down. Why? Because if you hold them in high regard, it's going to stand in the way of your victory this morning. Wrong way. So, there is a warning in God's word here. So, I put warning. Big letters. Warning. Numbers 33:55. It says, and this is God talking to Moses again. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain, them shall be pricks in your eyes, thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Well, what does that mean this morning? Let's kind of break this down a little bit. How many like to be poked in the eye with sharp objects? Anybody? Basically, when you prick somebody, you think of a pin. Sometimes when you get pricked by a pin, some of you don't like being pricked by pins, do you? Some people have phobias about needles, being stuck with needles. But think about this. God's saying here, if you don't drive these inhabitants out, they're going to be pricks in your eyes. It's going to be like being poked in the eye all the time with a sharp object. To me, that hurts. So in other words, it's going to cause pain. It's going to cause discomfort. It's going to cause things to the children of Israel that if they went ahead and drove them out, then they'd be no bother, right? But it goes on to say, is there anything that likes to be ripped up by thorns? Some of you maybe go out and pick berries, or maybe there's thorns and stuff around your house. How many people, I know when I'm mowing, I've got berry bushes down there at the bottom of my yard that as I drive by during the summer, they grow out and they'll snag me and they'll cut me up. How many people like that? I don't like that. But this is what God's telling them. It's going to be like thorns in your side. And is there anyone here this morning that likes to be troubled, irritated, or distressed all the time? Anybody? That's what he's saying here. They shall vex you. That's what it means. Troubled, irritated, or distressed. And this is what God is telling Moses. This is what's going to happen if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land. So if you do not, those of you that are saved this morning and endeavoring to live for God, and you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land, they are going to trouble you. They are going to trouble you this morning. You're not going to get the peace and the satisfaction of this Christian life if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land. And for everyone in here this morning, the inhabitants may be a little bit different than anybody else's. But what I'm saying this morning is, if I just gave you a second to think about it, I'm sure that there's some things that will come to your mind this morning and you say, you know what? This thing troubles me. This thing has given me trouble in the past. Am I letting it still inhabit the land? Am I still letting it inhabit my life? These things will trouble you until you drive them out. And in order to drive them out, that takes action on your part. That takes action on my part. Think about Jesus when he drove the money changers out of the temple. He didn't do it meek and mildly, did he? He didn't do it meek and mildly. And sometimes we really have to say, you know, I don't want you to rule my life anymore. And you physically, so to speak, in the spiritual sense, you have to drive those things out. I think about sometimes when we've worked with cattle, when we've worked with cows, sometimes we had to sometimes take things and smack them and hit them and to get them to move, to get them to do the things you wanted to. We had to drive them, right? Because they would not go where we wanted them to go. So we physically had to make sure that they were going in the right direction. Same thing in our lives. We've got to drive out the inhabitants of the land. If not, they're going to trouble us, young people. They're going to trouble us. So, let's talk about the inhabitants of the land for a second. The inhabitants, they hear of the mighty things, the mighty works that God has done. If you're saved this morning, that is a mighty work that God has done. Maybe there's ones in here this morning that's been healed. That's a mighty work that God has done in your life. But God, they hear about all the mighty works that were done, starting with the defeat of the Egyptians and crossing the Red Sea. What a mighty work that God did on the behalf of the children of Israel. The inhabitants of the land of Canaan, they heard about that. All that happened in the wilderness. They heard about all those things. And here they crossed Jordan on dry ground. As they go into the land of Canaan, you know, God parted the waters. They were able to go across the Jordan River on dry ground, just like they did crossing the Red Sea. And then they hear about the defeats of Jericho and Ai. All the inhabitants of the land, they were fearful. Why? They weren't so fearful of the children of Israel, but they were fearful of God because they knew what God had done. And they knew that if God was with the children of Israel, they could not be stopped. And young people, just like we talked last night in our young people's meeting, we serve a great big God. We serve a God that can do anything. He can do anything. And as long as God is with us, as long as we're allowing God to work in our lives, we can do anything, including defeat the enemy. We can defeat the enemy this morning. We can be victorious. We don't have to be defeated. We sing that chorus. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be defeated anymore. Why? Because Jesus Christ, God's only Son, fought the battle and He won. We don't have to be defeated anymore. And that's the way we were in sin. We were defeated. But thank God this morning we have somebody that is bigger than any enemy we face. And that's the God of heaven this morning. Young people, we need to. We sing a song, we sing a chorus quite often as young people. He can be dependent on. He can be trusted. He's a friend indeed, even when I'm not in need. He's my guiding light. In the middle of the darkest night, he can be dependent on. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful for that this morning. We don't have to be defeated. And as long as children of Israel had God fighting for them, they weren't defeated. They weren't defeated. Now, when they heard all this, all right, the inhabitants of the land, the kings got together and they banded together and says, you know, we're going to all band together and we're going to fight. We're going to fight. But they knew they had no chance standing alone. So the only way that they felt that they had any chance whatsoever is they all banded together. Now, let me get back to my notes here real quick. You know, as Israel pushes deeper into the promised land, the inhabitants here again of all the great victories won. And so I think about the Gibeonites. They thought, what if they do something a little bit different here? While all these other kings are banding together, we're going to try something different. This might be our only opportunity to preserve, what do you want to say, our nation or whatever it might be. So, let's talk about them just for a second. So the Gibeonites actually were descendants of Canaan. That's how they got the land of Canaan. They were descendants of Canaan. And he was the son of Ham. Does anybody know who Ham was? Shem, Ham, and Japheth? Noah's sons. So they were descendants of Noah's son Ham. They occupied the promised land again prior to the Israelites coming across the Jordan. They were their holdings comprised of four cities. All right, so they held four cities. They were a nation of idol worshipers. I want you to keep that in mind as we go further into this lesson this morning. But they were a nation of idol worshipers. And as we get into this lesson, we're going to find that they were made servants to the Levites under Joshua. And I want you to think about this question. They were not driven from the land. Is that a problem? Remember what God's command was. God's command is to drive out the inhabitants of the land. And he said that if you did not drive out the inhabitants of the land, there were going to be consequences, right? There were going to be consequences for not doing that. And we're going to talk about that. So, being that they did not drive the Gibeonites out of the land, there's going to be problems in the immediate future and way down the road. And we'll talk about that as we finish up the lesson this morning. So the Gibeonites, they turn to deception. They don't come at the Israelites with an army, but they come to the Israelites with deception. That's the title of our lesson this morning. That's the title of our lesson. So they come with deception. So they send some ambassadors. These ambassadors, they're all, again, remember, they're inhabitants of the land, but they come with wineskins that are all patched up. They come with bread that is dry and moldy. They come with their clothes, look like they're very well worn. Their shoes are well worn. They look like that they have been traveling for a long, long time. And that's how they portrayed themselves. We come from a far country. We come from a far country. But we want to make a league, or we want to make a pact with you. That's just like the enemy this morning. He's going to do what he can to deceive us, to try to trick us into doing something that we should not be doing, the things that God warns us against. He's going to try to trick us. If he can't, listen, young people, if he can't get us to outright sin, he is going to do his best to come at us from another direction. And this is what the Gibeonites are doing. Because they know, man for man, they cannot come up against the children of Israel. Because why? Not only does Israel have many, many people, but they've got God fighting for them. And so they come in another direction. They use deception. And the enemy is going to use deception on us, young people, if he could all possibly do that. He'll work to deceive us because he knows. You know, God knows, and the enemy knows, that he's not going to get me to go to a bar and drink. That has just never been one of those things I've ever had the desire to do in my life. But there are other things that he can come in and get me. Deceive me into doing something. Trick me into doing something. And the same with you. It's a common salvation, young people. It's a common salvation. He's going to do anything that he can to get you messed up. To make a league, you might say, or make a pact. And it's going to be something that you regret. The Israelites, they're going to regret making this pact. But also think about, the Israelites failed to destroy the inhabitants of the land, and by this failure, again, they're going to have to deal with the Gibeonites for many, many years, many, many generations to come. Young people, do we fail to eliminate habits? Again, I want to come back to this. Do we fail to eliminate habits that we, maybe when we were out in sin, that we formed? Do we fail to eliminate those things? Maybe we fail to eliminate influences. You know, when we were out in sin, were there friendships that were formed that we know very well that if we continue those friendships after we get saved, that it will not be good for us. We will not have victory in our lives. Those things will plague us. Just like the Gibeonites. They were thorns. They were pricks. They were, what was that other word that I used? Yeah, they were vexed. All right? These things will vex you, young people. They will trouble you. They will trouble you. Associates, people that we associated with while we are out in sin, those things, we have to cut them off. We have to cut them off this morning, because if we don't, it's going to affect us. It's going to have an effect on our lives this morning. And I think about these things, if we hang on to them, what kind of influence does it have on us? What kind of influence does it have on us? But not only that, but how does it hurt our influence? And again, I'll come back to, we influence people. I am not an island. I don't know how many people are in this room this morning, but I'm having an effect on you. Whether you realize it or not, I'm having an effect on you. And if I were to do something, and I didn't drive some inhabitants out of the land, and I let those things influence me, then those things that are influencing me are going to come out, and it's going to let me influence you. That's how it works. That's how it works this morning. So it's really important, young people, that we make sure that we're living the way God wants us to live. And we have driven out the inhabitants of the land because, again, each and every one of us in this room are influencing people. We are influencing people. It may be your siblings, it may be your family, it may be the friends that you have around you, but you are influencing somebody. Some people's circle of influence is bigger than others, but I guarantee you we are influencing people. And you know, as I think about this, even when we are out in public, you know, we don't even have to say a word. We don't have to say a word, and we're influencing people. How? By the way we act, by the way we look, by the way we dress, by the way we carry ourselves. We influence people. And that's why we have to have God filling our lives. And we have to drive out the inhabitants of the land. Because you know, young people, when it comes down to it, when we go to the judgment, we are going to be held accountable for the people that we have influenced. I want you to think about that. We're going to be held accountable for the people that we influenced. We need to make sure that we're living in such a way that God's going to be pleased with the influence that we had on people. Can't stress enough this morning how important it is to drive out the inhabitants of the land. Drive out those things in our lives that we have allowed to work while we were yet in sin. We've got to get rid of them if we're going to live a life that God wants us to live. You know, as great a leader as Joshua was, there were many victories. There are many victories under Joshua's watch. But as great a leader as Joshua was, there was one flaw that should be a warning to each and every one of us. He was a great leader. But there were times that he made decisions that he failed to consult God. Think about Ai. If he would have consulted God concerning going up to Ai, and he, again, I think sometimes we all assume when we have big victories in our lives, that you know what? This is going to be easy. Let's just plow ahead. Well, how many times that we've had a great victory that we've stumbled? Don't have to raise your hand, but can you identify? I can identify. Think, hey, you know what? I got this. This is going to be easy. There's just a few people in Ai compared to Jericho. Their defenses aren't near as good as Jericho's. Oh, this ought to be easy. They came back with their tails between their legs, right? How many times have we done that in our spiritual life? We think, you know what? I had a great victory. God help me here. And the next thing that comes along, oh, I got this. And that's what happened with Joshua. He didn't consult God. This situation right here, we're going to read that he did not consult God in this matter. And what happened? He got hoodwinked. He got deceived. He got taken in by the deception. Because he did not talk to God about it. And so let this be a warning to us this morning, young people, that we can be deceived too. And when we try to stand in our own strength, trying to make decisions on our own, the devil's going to be right there, I guarantee you, to say, you know what? You think in your mind, I got this. I can handle this. This isn't nothing compared to what I just went through. Be careful. Be careful. Joshua should be a warning to you this morning that we cannot make decisions on our own. No matter how small we think it is, we've got to make sure that we talk to God. Again, Joshua was a great leader. Great leader. Great man of God. But he forgot to consult God. And what happened is it led to defeat. It led to him, you know, him and the people of Israel being deceived. I don't want to be deceived this morning. And my prayer is you are not wanting to be deceived either. So take heed to that warning. It says here that the men took their victuals and asked not the counsel at the mouth of the Lord. So young people, Satan's going to make you think or make it seem like that wrong is right, right is wrong. He'll try to get you confused. He'll try to get you to make decisions in your own understanding. That's going to lead to defeat this morning. Going to lead to defeat. Now, it says, and up here in my title, it says, deceit lies in part truth. Deceit lies in part truth. It says in Numbers 9:4, they did work wily. What's that mean? They're sneaky. That's just like the devil. Sneaky. Think about, some of you are probably way too young, maybe, Wile E. Coyote. All right? He's always trying to sneak around and catch the Roadrunner. Well, you see how it worked out for Wile E. Coyote. He never caught the Roadrunner. And that's how it's going to work out for us. If we try to work against the enemy. The enemy's wily. He'll trick us. He'll do everything he possibly can to deceive us this morning. But, again, they portrayed themselves as ambassadors. They made their belongings look old. They dressed in worn clothes. They had dry, moldy bread. But they did say, we heard about the one true God, which that was true. Because, what do you want to say? God and the children of Israel, their reputation preceded them, you might say. They heard about it. So that was, all this here was deception. This right here was part truth. And that's what the enemy's going to do, young people. The enemy will do that. He'll mix some part truth in there. But you don't see the deception. You don't see the deception for what it is. And so we've got to be ever on our guard this morning. Got to be on our guard this morning. And we need to talk to God. That's why we have to have a close relationship with God, because we have got to know when the enemy is trying to deceive us. And everything might look, on the surface, it might look good. It might look good. Everything might be on the up and up, but down underneath, there's some deception working. Well, in this particular case, the deception worked. Joshua bought their story. He bought their story. How many times have we bought the devil's lies? If we bought it once, it was one too many times. The young people, we have, you know, and I'm gonna lump myself into this too. Been taken in one too many times by the devil's lies. I've been taken in one too many times by the devil's lies this morning. By his deception. By his half-truths or part-truths. And young people, we need to be wise. And that's our prayer this morning, is you become wise to the devil's tactics this morning. You become wise to the enemy this morning, because we all have an enemy. And he is going to do everything he can cause us to stumble, to make bad decisions. All right, let's face it. I'm talking to young people this morning, especially guys. You think you're invincible. Nothing can happen to you. I can make decisions and I won't get hurt. I think that's just kind of the general attitude. We adults think that too. Oh, I can do this and I won't get hurt. Wrong. We're going to get hurt. But it says here, and Joshua made peace with them. Made peace with them. Made a league with them. To let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them, or they made an oath unto them. So basically, they made a binding contract. They were bound by it. Even God stood behind it. And young people, God's got a will for our lives this morning. He's got a will for our lives. He's got a path for us to follow. Right here is the roadmap. Right here in this case is the roadmap. He's got it all laid out for us. He has a plan of salvation. He's got a plan for victory for each and every one of us this morning. That's His will. That's His will for us. In this particular case, this was God's permissive will. We're going to make some decisions in our lives. It wasn't necessarily God's plan. But we made a decision. God's going to kind of allow things to happen, just like this right here. This happened. God's command was, God's perfect plan was, is to drive the inhabitants out. They were supposed to be gone. But Joshua and the children of Israel, they fell for this ploy. And God ended up standing behind that decision. And you're going to make some decisions in your life that will not be God's perfect will. That is not God's perfect plan for your life. But you're going to make some decisions that, you know what, God's going to say, okay, that wasn't my perfect will. I'm going to stand behind it. But guess what? There will be some consequences that come along with it. Just like this right here. God allowed it to happen. He stood behind it, but there were consequences. Things didn't go as smoothly as what they could have for the children of Israel as a result of this decision. You're going to make decisions. God's going to stand behind that decision, but things aren't going to go as smoothly as what God intended it to as a result of your decision. I want you to think about that this morning. God's got a perfect plan. He's got a perfect will for you, every one of us. But again, we are going to make decisions. Maybe we didn't consult God on a particular decision. Young people, other than getting saved, having the right companion is the most important decision you will ever, ever make in your life. God's got a perfect plan. God's got a perfect will for each and every one of you in here this morning. But some of you are going to step outside of that perfect will, and some have. Many have. You know what? God's going to stand behind that and say, okay, you chose this person. Both of you may end up getting saved. Both of you may end up living for God. But there may be some stumbling blocks, or there may be some hills, there may be some valleys that are in your path as a result of that decision that you made. Things aren't going to go quite as smoothly as what God intended for them to go. But as a result of the decision that you made, there are going to be some consequences that come along. And that goes with any other decision that we make, young people. God's got a perfect plan. God had a perfect plan for the children of Israel. But this right here threw a big stumbling block in their way. I'm talking hundreds of years down the road, they were still dealing with this situation as a result of this decision that was made that day. Generations it affected. And the decisions that you are making this morning will affect generations and generations and generations down the road. Remember what I told you about not being an island? The decisions you make today are going to affect generations down the road. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren. You're going to be making decisions today that will affect them tomorrow. And again, why did the deception work? And the men took their victuals and asked not the counsel at the mouth of the Lord. I can't impress upon you enough this morning, young people, we've got to get a hold of God. We've got to get a hold of God. Let this be a warning to you this morning. We've got to get a hold of God. So again, God, and I put God in front of this because He did. He honored this. God, Joshua, and Israel honored the pact. Even though that it was a deception, even though that they were taken in by it, the Gibeonites got what they wanted. They got to stay in the land. They got to stay in the land. But there were some consequences for them too. There were some consequences for them too. They were saved from destruction. They're mighty warriors. They were humbled and they were made drawers of water. In other words, they drew water from the well, and they were cutters of wood for the Levites. So in other words, they were made to work for the Levites. They were made to work for the temple worship, to cut wood, to draw water. But I guess you might say that this might be an unintended consequence in a good way for the people of Gibeon, is they did have an opportunity. They did have an opportunity to turn from their idol worship. Why? Because they were exposed to the people of God. I think about Rahab. One person and her family were saved from destruction at Jericho, right? Would you agree with that? They were saved from destruction. And actually, Rahab is in the lineage of Christ. I want you to think about that too. God honored that. These people here also had an opportunity to turn from their idolatrous ways. They had an opportunity to worship the one true God. But I might ask this morning, though, even though that they had that opportunity, Israel has some difficulties going forward. They had some difficulties going forward. They became the protectors of the Gibeonites. So anytime that they got in trouble, anytime that somebody wanted to come up against them, the Israelites had to run to the rescue. They became their protectors. 400 years later, God got angry with Saul because his sons killed some Gibeonites. But the question I leave with you this morning is, what possible effect did the Gibeonites have on the children of Israel? You know, we think that we can go out and we can interact with our old friends. We can interact with, you know, people that are not living right. And I'm not saying we need to be a witness. But what I'm saying is we want to say form close bonds, we form close friendships. And I guarantee you, with the Gibeonites hanging around, there were close bonds, there were close friendships that were established as a result of that. Which meant either the Israelites could have some influence on them, or the Gibeonites could have some influence on the Israelites. And young people, we have to be careful about forming bonds and close friendships. Maybe it's former friends that we had. You think, you know, I'm well enough established in the things of God, these people won't affect me. Or I can start hanging around this group of people and these people won't affect me. You may have some effect on them, but they're also going to have an effect on you. And what is that cost? What is that cost this morning? Is it going to be costly to your salvation this morning? Is it going to be costly to your victory this morning by not cutting those ties or severing those ties, or, you know, not pulling down those high places or pulling down those altars? You know, I didn't go far enough in my reading this morning, and I didn't read anywhere where they had to pull down their altars, that they had to pull down their, you know, and quit their idolatrous worship. Maybe they got to continue to do that. What effect did that have on the children of Israel? What effect did that have on the children of Israel? Because I know, as you read through history about the nation of Israel, they were affected by idolatry. They allowed idolatry, and this could have been the door that opened it. This could have been the door that opened that. Young people, we've got to be careful about opening doors and letting the enemy in. We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful about opening doors and letting the enemy in. They let the enemy in. But they made a decision. It was a binding agreement, and they had to stand behind it. And now, they have the influence of the enemy in their homes, all about them. We can't do that, young people, if we want to have victory in our lives this morning. We can't allow that to happen. So this morning, young people, our burden is that we are very aware of the deception that the enemy is trying to work. We've got to be aware of his ways. We've got to be aware that he's always trying to find some way to get us to compromise, to get us to do things that at some point in time in our life, we're going to regret making that decision. You know what? It may not have been immediate. It may not be as a result of this decision or the results of this agreement. May not have been immediate. But again, you see the effects in later generations. So young people, let's be aware of the deceptiveness of the enemy this morning.